time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Let's get to it indeed. This is Filippo with Life Changes with Filippo, here with my co-host Mark Lejeune and our guest today, who is Amy Ferris, who has written a book or co-edited a book with Holly Dexter, and it is called Dancing at the Shame Prom. Let me tell you what a couple people have said about this. How could a book of essays about shame be so remarkably refreshing, enlightening, and engaging? Because nothing is so empowering as the light of truth as told in lived stories of women, because they turn out to be stories of redemption, not shame. At least this is the way some people are looking at it. That was by Gloria Felt, who's a best-selling author herself. Others have said things like, these are startlingly honest stories of deep down lingering hurt, bravely and eloquently told. Once you start reading, you can't stop. The effect is oddly cleansing. And that was by John Brennan, author of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, as a matter of fact. So I could go on and on. So many people have praised this book. And the reason we wanted this show with this book on it and this author or this co-editor is because shame, it is such a powerful thing. It's a tool. It's an expression. It's something that people literally and figuratively die of. Dying of shame. And we all know people that have gone to their grave with shame in their hearts and in their souls, in their minds, and within their lives. And some of us are of the belief that shame actually creates disease or is a factor for our bodies. And if not even that, then certainly dis-ease, period, like the feeling of uneasiness. And when we have those feelings of uneasiness, we tend to live our lives with that uneasiness. And dancing at the shame prom may be a way to help clear that by reading some remarkable women stories that they have shared about their quote-unquote shame and potentially redemption. So we'll be talking to Amy Ferris right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IONWAY's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
You know, life changes, it is indeed. Mark, you know, and life is changing in the moment as we are doing this show, as it always does, as witnessed from our show last week with Glory Loring. The audience was well aware of some of what was going on and right with the changes with her and with all of us while we were doing the show. But my changes happened as I was getting prepared to make the show, or to get to interview our guest tonight. I wasn't allowed to go to any of the dances. It's hard to believe now that I'm an adult and in control of my own life, that there was a time when I was not allowed to do something by somebody telling me, no, you can't do it. I guess there are still people that tell me, no, you can't do this and that. But I mean, controlling every aspect, at least so it felt as a child. And here I was 17, not yet 18. And my father was saying I couldn't go to the dances at school, and I certainly couldn't go to the prom. Partly because of finances and partly because I wasn't allowed to go to dances, period. None of us kids were in our family. So I wasn't singled out. And so I've always looked at that as this really negative thing that I never got to do and I never got to experience. For the first time today, while getting ready for this show and really going through the book and looking at some of the stories and the title itself, Dancing at the Shame Prom, I had a moment of, thank God I didn't get to go to the prom. Because I know I would have had so many more shameful moments that I would have experienced that night. I just know it. And I would have had those looming in my life that I would have had to have gotten rid of. And so this show has already helped one person. Me.
And thank you for tuning in.
We're done. I feel good. Well, and the book has already helped. See there?
That's why we do what we do.
No, but really, I mean, I you know what I'm saying? I mean, what a way to...
I do. And you know, I think this is, you know, core to being human, core to being sensitive. And, you know, everybody has those moments, those fears to different levels, to different subjects, all tied to different experiences. And, you know, I was thinking about that word shame. And I think that even in this modern day, people don't understand just how aggressive that word is, how assertive the word is. I think it was used in a much more assertive way in the olden days.
Oh, gosh, and like shame on you with the whole finger thing and everything.
Well, and they say that, but they don't say it with the knowing of how it can truly affect and stick and last. I mean, it goes into to the occult and to the witches and all sorts of things that used to be really attached to that word. And so it's such a shameful word, actually, and everything around it.
You know, actually, the press on the book says shame is a powerful thing. It can weigh on your heart and mind, diminish your sense of self-worth, and impact the way you live in the world. And then it goes on to say, but what happens when you share the secret burden? And actually, in a way, I've done that too by sharing that secret burden about the prom that didn't happen for me. Although I'm very open to the fact that something amazingly wonderful could have happened at the prom and changed my life completely, but I doubt it.
Well, if you were looking to me to tell you that that would have happened, nope, not me.
Yeah.
I'm having those stories.
Well,
go to the proms and the homecomings, but they always seem to be last minute, you know, just because dates and the people I really wanted to go with, you know, the cool people stepped in first, and I went through the motions, but there was never any of those magical moments. In fact, there was a lot more witnessing because I would then pay attention a little more to what was going on around me. Maybe because I was not so embedded in the story of who I was with, you kind of see some of that shame and discomfort and awkwardness, and as everybody tries to fit in that box.
Wow. I was listening to everything you were saying, but at the same time, I was laughing because I was thinking of the fact that what a coincidence. Just last night, I heard a story about a prom night. And though this book is so much more than prom, I am dancing with the title as Dancing at the Shame Prom. So, I don't know why, but I have to share this. And, so this young Irish man goes to the prom, in Ireland, and he sees this young lady or lady, that he thinks is, he was probably a teacher, but he wanted to dance with her instead of any of the other younger girls because he was into older women. So, she was all dressed in red, and to him, she looked so beautiful, and he couldn't get up the nerve to go talk to her. So after a few Guinnesses, towards the end of the night, something was playing, and that he thought, well, this is the song. And so he went up to her, and he said, lady in red, I would love to invite you to dance. And she said, first of all, I don't dance. Secondly, this is the national anthem that they're playing. And thirdly, I'm not a lady. I am the Bishop of Canterbury or whatever. Get it? He was dressed in red. That's how they dress.
I get it. I was picturing the moment.
What you were really thinking is like, did he just say that on the air? And I never tell jokes, and now we know why. How about we go on with the show and bring Amy on? Maybe she has a good joke for us.
I hope so.
I also want to share that it goes on to say, freeing, provocative, and audacious, dancing at the shame prom is about flaunting the secrets. I mean, how interesting is that? That have made you feel small, so that you can stand up straight, let the shame go, and finally, decisively, move on with your life past even some of those jokes. So with that, our guest is Amy Ferris, and she's an author herself, though she's a co-editor of this book, and an editor and a playwright. Her recent memoir, Marrying George Clooney, Confessions from a Middle-Aged Crisis, is headed to Off-Broadway in 2013. She co-wrote both films, Mr. Wonderful and Funny Valentines, and she has contributed to numerous anthologies, edited two women-centric magazines, and wrote a young adult novel called A Greater Good. Amy has also co-edited, of course, the anthology Dancing at the Shame Prom with Holly Dexter. And Amy's blog, Marrying George Clooney, was named one of the best blogs for women over 40 by More Magazine. All the way from Pennsylvania, she's with us tonight. Ciao, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. Absolutely thrilled. And I have to tell you, I love your website. And I was just blown away by it.
Well, thank you so much. And even after what we just did just now on the air.
Yeah.
See, I just shared a shameful moment, and it's not shaming at all, and I feel good.
Well, I think that's fantastic.
Tell me.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Tell us, Amy, what would make you all say, I know, let's talk about shame?
You know, Holly and I have this wonderful, wonderful friendship, and we speak pretty often on the phone, and we both blog for iPinion Syndicate and other that, you know, and also have our own blogs. And one day we were on the phone and we were talking about very shameful stuff. And we thought, wow, why don't we do a blog together, you know? And we did. And what was more astonishing than the fact that we had actually written a blog together was that there were so many people who really related to the fact that we were talking about our shame and releasing shame. And, you know, and it was like a light bulb went off, you know, and we decided, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if we can, you know, put this together and create an anthology. And it was pretty magical how it all came about, you know, really magical and wonderful.
Kind of like magical and wonderful how you and I got connected, and that's a whole
other
story. Yeah,
wasn't that amazing?
It sure
is. That
was
so incredibly wonderful.
you know, Amy, when we come back, I'm curious as to whether some of the stories are actually shameful, or if as culture, society, quote unquote, we have been told that that is shameful. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that when we come back right after this. We're talking with Amy Ferris about the book, The Shame Prom, Dancing at the Shame Prom. This is Filippo on Life Changes with Filippo.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
That certainly is, and this is Filippo Voltaggio here with Mark Legere and our guest, Amy Ferris. She has co-edited a book with Holly Dexter. 27 writers share the shameful stories that once kept them small. The book is Dancing at the Shame Prom. You can learn more about it by going to theshameprom.com. You can actually get the book there and learn more about both of the co-editors and what they do. Amy, before we took a quick break, we talked about the store. We talked about how this came about, that you all decided to co-edit this book. And I am curious if the stories are truly shameful, all of them, or if some are not so bad, but we were taught to believe they were shameful.
I think that's a really great question. I think that, yes, there are some essays that are truly deeply shameful. And I think that there are essays that are very much about feeling shame rather than it being shameful. I think that there are essays that are also very much related to self-esteem, not feeling good enough or feeling enough. But there are a handful of essays in here that are, when you read them, you're just astonished that these women held on to, you know, their stories and kept them hidden away out of fear that they would, you know, either hurt someone else or disappoint somebody or create a rift in their family. I think that there is societal shame, and I think that there is personal shame, and I think that the book covers every bit of it.
Why don't we talk about a couple of the stories, like something, okay, something light, and then something really juicy.
Well, Julie Silver wrote an incredibly wonderful and charming essay. And Julie is, I think one would just call her like a Jewish folk singer. And she wrote, her essay is all about getting caught smoking marijuana at a Jewish summer camp.
Wow.
And it's charming and it's funny and it's, but she really felt like she was exiled. You know, she felt, as a young girl, she also was, you know, performing and she was, singing and it made her feel very much ashamed, you know, that she was caught doing something, literally caught doing something. And hers is a very charming and very human and very wonderful kind of shameful story, essay. And then you have Liana Strekoff, who, her essay is about being paralyzed. She fell out of a tree. She had the greatest orgasm of her life and climbed a tree, and the branch broke, and she fell. And she,
oh, wow.
It became, for her, it was a very spiritual, an extraordinarily spiritual experience. And
wow.
Through that, you know, and the one of the things that you really you get and you understand when you're reading these essays that I myself don't know what it's like, you know, to be paralyzed from the waist down, but I know what it's like to be paralyzed in a situation.
Wait,
so it's
when you said
identifiable like that.
I want to explain the fact that I laughed. I laughed because I thought you said that she had an incredible orgasm. Was this before
yes,
she climbed the tree? Before she climbed the tree.
Before she climbed the tree.
Oh, okay.
She
okay.
said, I don't think I'll ever have an orgasm like this again. And, you know, and in her telling the story and in her writing the essay, she tells it with such power and such beauty. And she takes you through the experience of her literally falling out of a tree.
Wow.
And you can feel it, and you can hear it when you read it. And, you know, so there's that essay. And then Monica Holloway wrote her essay about feeling betrayed by her husband. And hers is very charming and very powerful and very sad and very brutal and very humorous. And I think that there's a lot of that. You know, I think that what Dancing at the Shame Prom, and the reason it's called Dancing at the Shame Prom, is because every one of these essays is celebratory. You know what the shame is. You get the horror and the fear and the self-loathing, and then you go the journey. You take the journey with the writer. And you realize that they are celebrating their life now. They're celebrating it. They took that mistake or that pain and suffering and turned it into their mission.
Yeah, the publicity here says these brave writers, journalists, musicians, artists, directors, and activists have offered up their most funny, sad, poignant, miraculous, life-changing, and jaw-dropping secrets for you to gawk at, empathize with, and learn from in the hopes that they will inspire others to do the same. Letting go feels good. Do you have stories already of the authors that have felt a life change by authoring these stories?
Yeah. I think each one of these women, the thing that was really interesting is we went out to 33 women, right? And we asked them if they would contribute to this book and do they have shame? And everyone got back to us. I mean, one author actually said that she had a PhD in shame. Mm. And I think they said yes, that they would write it. And then as they started writing their essays, they thought, no, I don't want to tell this story. I don't want to put this out in the world. And so that was a challenge. That was a real challenge. It was a challenge for them as writers, and I think it was a challenge for them as women. And I think it was also a challenge for each one who felt a real sense of community, you know, like a responsibility. So it was a difficult essay for most of these women to write.
You know, I actually had a conversation, not so coincidentally, on Friday night with a woman who I think briefly met once a long time ago, but didn't really know. And in conversation, there was a question that was asked that was very appropriate. And without blinking, I shared what I used to think was a most intimate secret, and moved on in the conversation. And it helped her with something that she was working with. And moments later, after I realized I had said this, I thought, wow, I'm actually living without this as a secret, so much that I can actually be sharing this. And the thought came to me that how much more now am I open to be able to do, because that's no longer weighing me down.
Right. Yeah. That's a great story, because it's really, that's what it is. You know, we keep ourselves very small. We're afraid to be in the world. Shame keeps us from being intimate. And I don't mean sexually intimate. I mean intimate with another human being, just sharing your life. You know, you don't want people to find out that secret, and you keep it hidden in a drawer, you know, next to your lingerie. And you just, once you start talking about it, you realize everyone has something that they keep.
Yeah, Amy, now that you say that, I'm thinking it's not only intimacy with another person, it's also intimacy with yourself, because we're most of the times our own worst critic. We say to ourselves, oh, you're the one who did this, remember?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's very true, and, you know, that's a wonderful way to put it. We are afraid to be intimate with ourselves. We're afraid, you know, that's very much a part of, we're so afraid to admit certain things. I dropped out of high school when I was 15 and a half. And for many, many, many years, it kept me from being fully in the world. Even though I had written books and I had accomplished a lot, I felt like such a sham. And I used to think, okay, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not putting myself out there. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want somebody asks me, you know, where'd you go to school? You know, I think, well, I got my GED, and it brought up a lot of embarrassment and a lot of self-doubt, and I kept myself hidden because of that.
You know, Amy, it sounds so silly from here, doesn't it?
I know, doesn't it? As the words were just coming out of my mouth, I thought, wow, how silly. But you asked before if it was societal or, you know, if it's the shame that we feel or the shame that's imposed on us. And I think that there's so much that we feel so shameful about. So much. And if we talk about it and release it, I think the beauty of that is that you also get to hear it come out of your mouth. And you say, wow, I've been holding on to that. That's, you know...
Probably later on during the producer's wrap, hopefully he won't share it, but Mark actually said to me recently, when I was sharing something it's not that I was keeping a secret, and it wasn't that I was really shameful about, I was just thinking, you know, it's like nobody wants to hear this. And then when I shared that, he says, wow, you know, thank you for sharing that, that you feel more human to me. And we find out that people can relate with us more and then that more intimacy happens. And I'd like to talk more about that intimacy because that seems to be the crux of what's happening with other people that are reading this book and coming back around saying, this has helped me in this way. And that intimacy with ourselves, with other people, with society, with our world, which is, to me, what I believe we need more of and why I'm glad we're having this conversation, Amy.
Yeah, our me guest, too.
Yes, good. I'm glad. Our guest is Amy Farris. The book is Dancing at the Shame Prom. You want to learn more about it at theshameprom.com. I'm Filippo Voltaggio. This is, I was going to say Dancing with Filippo. This is Life Changes with Filippo. And we'll be right back.
Not so bad. Not so bad, right? Dance.
Right, not so bad.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo and Mark with Life Changes with Filippo. We are here with our guest, Amy Farris. We've been having such a great time at the prom with the book Dancing at the Shame Prom, although it doesn't seem like it's been all that shameful. It's been very light and very opening. The book is, again, Dancing at the Shame Prom. The website is theshameprom.com, just as it sounds. And Amy, the intimacy thing is such a big thing that that we've touched upon and that other people seem to be coming back to. How can we expand on that so that we get the most out of this that we can?
I have to say that I loved when you said intimacy with yourself. And I think that that's something to talk about. That's not a conversation that we have very often, right?
Mm.
When we talk about intimacy, we talk about the intimacy with another person or sexually intimate or emotionally, but we don't talk about our own intimacy with our own lives.
Sure.
So that's that's a hot, wonderful conversation to have, because I think it all begins with us. And I think we often take ourselves out of the equation.
Mm.
And then we go back in, and, you know, it's the same as when you hear somebody say, well, you've got to be responsible for your own life, or you have to take your own life seriously, or take care of yourself. And that is how it rang for me when you said that, is, yeah, being intimate with our own lives.
You know, Amy, I'm glad, and I'm working with the phrase, you can't give what you don't have. And I'm still working with it, because it means a lot of things to me, and I think it goes so deep, because a lot of us seem to think that we're giving love, but if you don't have it for yourself, how could you
right.
give it? So if you're not intimate with yourself, how could you be intimate with anybody else?
Well, let me ask you something, because...
Uh-oh.
Let me ask you something. When you talk about intimacy with yourself, you're talking about being really honest with yourself, right? Being honest and open with your own life with your own life.
Absolutely, and accepting yourself the way you are, and allowing for yourself to have the opportunity to do better by first. Either forgiving yourself, or again accepting yourself, or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the foundation or the core of so many of the essays, is that feeling not good enough, you know, not being able to accept ourselves, not being able to say, you know, this, I am worthy.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, that's what, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, yeah, that's what it is. You know, we're afraid of that intimate dialogue with our own lives.
Well, take first.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, take, for example, who was the young lady? Silver, what was her name?
Julie Silver,
right. So if she was comfortable with herself at that moment in time as a child, and was comfortable with the fact that marijuana was legal or legal or not legal, she could smoke it if she wanted to, et cetera, et cetera. If somebody caught her, quote unquote, smoking marijuana, she could say, hey, I'm having some marijuana. Do you want some? Or whatever she could say. And if they tried to shame her, she could say, I don't get what the big deal is, or what are you all trying to do, or what's the problem, and it would roll off her back, or she might, you know, grab a flag and start waving it, and we might have had a different marijuana world by now, you know, or something. But
well,
because,
you never know.
Right, exactly. But because she didn't have that confidence, or she wasn't raised with that, or she was taught that marijuana was something that you do in the dark if you do it, or by yourself, or, you know, you don't tell anybody, then she had that shame for herself. But if she didn't, then it would be a different story she'd be telling, to talk about something else.
See, but I just want to clarify this with Julie. I think Julie was a song leader at a Jewish camp, and she was very beloved. And she came from, her family was incredibly accepting of her. You know, Julie is one of these women that when you look at her, you think, you know, she swallowed the sun. Joy, mm-hmm. joy just explodes from her. I think her shame was that she believed, or not believed, but she had a vision of herself and a version of herself at this camp, because she was this leader. And all of these young women and all of these women looked up to her. And, you know, there she was sitting in a ball field with her friends, literally under a Klieg light, smoking a joint. And she was caught. And I think her shame was more the fact that she disappointed so many others.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? So I think her shame is very different than, say, the shame that I experienced growing up when I was a child, or Holly. You know, everybody's shame is very, very different in terms of how it resonated.
Absolutely.
For each one of us. And I think with Julie, it was the shame of disappointment. She felt she had disappointed an entire generation of women. And in her telling the story, it's really quite liberating and wonderful, and
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure. And I'm happy that she has shared her story and that this is coming to light so that we could have this conversation and other people can be less shameful or can release their shame.
Right.
And there again, my point actually still applies if you look at it this way, I think, Amy, is if to say that, again, as a leader, so many of our leaders, I don't want to name him. Any of our leaders that have done, okay? Anyway,
okay,
you know where I was going
him.
With that. So here, as a leader, she thought that she would not be respected or she was going to disappoint somebody. Again, she could say, look, I'm a leader in this community, or I'm glad you look at me that way. I also do this. And if you can't look at me still as a leader, as doing this as well, then that's your problem, not mine, and I wouldn't want to lead in this community. So I'm not saying that's what she should have done. I'm saying that the more we gain intimacy with ourselves, the more we gain confidence in ourselves, these things, people can't shame us as much, which is, I think, part of the scope of your book here.
I think that's absolutely true. And I think what you just said in terms of, you know, people can't shame us, and I think when we're young, you know, we get shamed into many things, you know. And I think as we grow and evolve, I think we go, oh, my God, why did I feel that way? Or why didn't I like myself enough? Or, you know, why did I care so much what that person thought? I think it also really defines us in many ways, right? So all of that stuff that we have to go through, whether it's, you know, guilt or shame or horrific self-doubt is part of the journey that we can get to where we are, where it is easy to tell our story, and it is easy to share it. And it is easy, like you the other day, you know, when you told, you know, about something you were shameful about and you realized that you weren't keeping it a secret. That's the evolution of it. And, you know, I think Julie's, just like many of these, all of these women actually in the book, that who they are today and how they are in the world today is a lot of, comes out of that shameful experience that they had, you know, and really honed who they were in the world.
Mm.
And Julie became a greater leader, you know, because of that experience. It also gave her, it taught her a little bit about humility. And so I think that shame can be a double-edged sword.
It absolutely, as our society grows, I believe that there have been these things that have helped us be who we are, and I tend to think that from where we are now, that there might be other tools that can help us to soar even higher and faster without these kinds of tools that can be painful. And some of the shameful things, Amy, sadly, are us just being who we are. And not so coincidentally, this weekend, a young lady was telling me how she developed breasts a lot sooner than any of the other girls in the class, and she was shamed for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And bullying, right?
Right. Yeah. And not only is that no fault of her own, quote unquote, that's actually a beautiful process, a part of being a young lady, and yet we have shamed young ladies for that.
Yeah, so, we have. You know, and our sexuality, and there's so much that we get shamed into or feel shameful about, or, you know, it's amazing, and I think it's true. We do need to redefine that now, and I think it's a great opportunity. I think given the world that we're living in, you know, it's very much a wonderful opportunity for all of us to start really valuing ourselves more, not caring so much what everybody thinks.
Hear, hear. I thank you so much for engaging this conversation through this book. And I know we've inspired at least one other book that was written for women and about women. The author has now, because of our conversation, written a book for men about men on that same topic. And I could just see the same thing for this 27 or so male authors. And I'd be happy to be one of them that tell their stories. Maybe we can call it scrimmage on the football field.
I don't know if that would be the title, but, you know, men and women have different, don't you think that men and women have react and respond differently to shame?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I'm saying we'll have to talk about this. We'll have to talk about this offline, and I look forward to that and to engaging more in the book. Amy, this has been great.
Thank you so much. It's been great for me, too. It's been wonderful.
I'm so glad. Well, very good. Amy, we'll look forward to connecting again offline. In the meantime, the book is Dancing at the Shame Prom, co-edited by Amy Ferris herself and her dear friend, Holly Dexter. Look for it at theshameprom.com. This is Filippo, and I'll be right back with Mark Leger and our producer's wrap right after this.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's L-O-U-I-S-E. ASHBY.org or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org or telephone 323-592-3181.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
This is Filippo with Life Changes with Filippo, and this is our producer's wrap with Mark Leger and I. And I'm laughing, Mark, because I can't get this out of my head, so I think I just have to say it. But I have a friend who every time would reveal something that would make him feel better would say, "I feel like I just burped."
So that's why you started this segment with a burp?
No, I didn't burp.
No,
I didn't burp, but I wanted to say that expression because I know what he meant. Not that I burp.
That's very revealing.
Well,
and while we were away, I was thinking about that book that you are now manifesting and potential other titles. Like, so if we're staying with the whole prom thing, it could be Kings of Shame.
Oh.
Or if you do want to, you know, leave it on the football field, then, you know, shame on your shoulder pads, or I don't know. There's all sorts of things we can play with. But what a great discussion. What an honest discussion. And that was the thing that came up for me, is this, you know, this word intimacy comes up so often. I think it's another word that is misused oftentimes, or that can be intimidating. And I think the reason it's intimidating is because another word for intimacy is honesty. And so you pointed out, you know, intimacy with yourself, intimacy with others. It's so few people, you know, hopefully more and more and more, but are breaking away from this. But so few people are able to experience or be honest with themselves. And then that is mirrored back through their relationships. And why does this happen? And why does that happen? And it's because they're not being honest with themselves about what they do, what they like, what they want to be, and or what their belief systems are as it pertains to things that may be considered shameful.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you're reminding me of I know we've talked about this on the show before, so I won't go into it, but the one time in particular where these underprivileged children, we had them on our live event show, and they came to me afterwards with hugs, and the audience stood up and applauded them, and they got their first standing ovation, their first applause. They weren't just underprivileged. They were abused and all that stuff, these children, and were recovering from all kinds of stuff. And I didn't want to do the show because I thought I was too fat. And I wanted to wait until I lost more weight. Who knows however many months that would be. And because of that, these children would have lost, would have not had that opportunity. And thanks to you and Dorothy and a few others at the time that encouraged me to just do the show, Filippo, for God's sakes. And you're not bad, by the way. But so with us having that shame inside of us, we might not go up and talk to somebody, or we might not choose to be intimate with somebody or share things with people because we think they're going to judge us because of that thing or those things. And we miss opportunities along the way.
You know, it's interesting because thinking back to that time, I may have even reflected internally and thought to myself, what a shame. And not saying that in a joking manner, but using those words to best describe, you know, you being in that place at that time and recognizing that juxtaposition, and not saying that from a judgmental perspective, but thinking about how we all have those moments. And like she said, you know, it sounds silly when you look back, or when you reflect on it, but yet at the time, and of course I've been there many times myself, and you've witnessed me in those places, at the time it seems so rational, it seems so grounded, because it's anchored by your belief systems or your fears or your past experiences.
Right, to admit that, instead of just saying, no, I can't do the show right now, or no, I don't want to do the show right now, or making up some other excuse, to admit that, and then to have you and Dorothy and other people say to me, you're not fat, get over it, you're this, you know, just, you're better than that, whatever. That was a healing process that I actually never really thought about. So there it goes.
I'm glad to hear that, and yeah, glad to see you on the other side of that and doing what you do and with the confidence that you do it with.
Oh, I didn't say I'm on the other side of that. I still have this role on myself.
Well, that's another show.
I'm comfortable with my shirt on, but I'm not comfortable with it off. So that's a whole other, I'm at another phase. And there, I've just told everything. There's nothing left to tell.
We're not doing our live events topless yet, so...
And we're not on TV yet, so I have nothing to worry about. See, making up shameful situations when they don't even exist. And that's it.
We'll have improved to such a point that it actually takes 10 pounds off of you, the lens.
and Mark, Amy's really right. Men do look at shame differently. We treat each other differently. I guess I, you know, I kind of wish she was part of this discussion, because on the one hand, you know, I feel like women sometimes tell each other things and they you know, they can laugh about it, giggle about it or whatever, like, or they could, they support each other through it. Now, men have a support system, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, the really intimate stuff, it's like, we don't talk about that. No, we're not that kind of friend, or that's girl stuff to talk about stuff that you know, touchy-feely, warmy things, at least in the past, right?
Right. No question.
Yeah, we need to get over that.
Let's move on.
No, seriously, right? Let's really, really move on. It may be easier said than done. Who knows? But I trust that we're able to encourage that right here, and especially by inspiring this book. What did you say? Something on the shoulder pads?
Shame on your shoulder
pads. I am sure Amy's not going to use that one. Or Holly, and I haven't met Holly yet. But anyway, I referred at the beginning of the show to coincidences and stuff like that. Well, last week we had Gloria Loring on, and we talked about her book, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. And so now the way we met Amy is through a coincidence that actually happened through Gloria Loring. And it's funny because I was speaking to Gloria and she said, this is what we call a CI. And I said, CI? She says, yes, it's short for coincidence is. And so it's interesting how one show is lining up the next, and we're having some really amazing conversations here that I'm inspired by.
Yeah, that's it's evidence of why we got together and why we do what we do now. So I love the fact that we've gotten more intimate with these discussions.
And there it is. So we'll continue dancing at the happy prom instead of the shame prom. And what a great title, because the prom has got so many anchors for so many people, as I shared at the beginning of the show. But here we are after a great discussion with Amy Ferris. Mark LeJure, thank you so much for your insight and inspiration. Dorothy Donahue, our producer, and Doug Newson, our engineer today. I am Filippo Vortaggio, reminding you that as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Vortaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.